Let's Get Moving with Maria. Inspiration to spend a few minutes each day to get moving on the small things that can make a big difference in your life.
Thank you for joining me today for Let's Get Moving. Well, summer is officially over, but it's important to understand that we can still get skin damage during other seasons. So, how can we be safe in the sun? My guest today is Jennifer Olajars. She's a health counselor, certified nutritionist, and she's also the writer of a sun survey on healthcanal.com. Jennifer, thank you so much for being with me today.
Well, thank you for having me. And that is a lovely question. It is so important because I think that you're right. Now that we think that summer is over, we don't have to worry about sunscreen anymore, but that couldn't be farther from the truth. So we did a big survey on Health Canal asking Americans, you know, not just their habits with sunscreen, but also their beliefs around sun exposure and how we protect ourselves. So we uncovered a lot of interesting beliefs and myths that we're going to go over today. So to start with your question of how can we, get skin damage, how can we protect our skin, the first thing would be to always try and cover up our skin, of course. But the areas, like now that we're heading into fall, that aren't going to be covered by clothes are our faces, our hands. Maybe if you're still wearing sandals, even your toes, that's also an area that people forget about. And our scalp as well. Our scalp actually can be one of the biggest ways that we can get one way that people find moles as well is really common in the scalp. So you want to wear hats, you want to protect your eyes because you can always have eye damage as well from the sun. And SPF of at least 30 is recommended by dermatologists on your face. And also reapplying, that's something we forget. You know, maybe you'll apply first thing in the morning, run out of the house, and that's it. But if you're going to be out and about, you want to carry a little bottle of face sunscreen with you and reapply it to your face and the backs of your hands. Take a hat with you and always have some sunglasses. So that's what's very important for all the other seasons besides summer. And of course, in summer, you want to wear sunscreen as well and avoid the sun from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. when it's strongest. So I think that's a big one, too.
I think there are some big gotchas. For example, you know, in the summer, you're going to the beach, you're out recreating. You always think, well, most of us do anyway, hey, I need to apply sunscreen. The gotcha for me was a football game a couple of weeks ago where I had to go right from work and I'd worn my shorts and it was a super warm day for this time of year. And I got sunburned. Now, of course, I had already protected my face because I have, you know, a good moisturizer with sunscreen in it. But the right side of my body from that sun exposure, you know, I think it's those gotcha moments where we're not really thinking about, we're not out working in the yard, that kind of thing that really get us.
Yeah. And that's why it could always be a good idea to maybe keep some things handy in your car, for example, like a sun hat, sunglasses, or just leave a big bottle of sunscreen in your glove department box, right? Because you never know when you might need it. So a little like sunscreen carrier for your trunk, or that could be a good idea. Some extra jacket. You know, now they also make a lot of clothing with ultraviolet protection factor. So you can even buy like light jackets and pants and things like that for the summer that come with that protection. So you could leave that in your car too.
I love that idea. Let's get to what are some of our misconceptions about sun exposure?
Yeah. So we have a lot. I think we have a lot of myths, you know. It used to be like thinking that, oh, having some bronze skin and a tan means you're healthy and you're active. But that's not necessarily true. So I think we need to get rid of that myth, especially that the sun is healthy, that it's good for you, that, you know, you're getting your vitamin D and you're perhaps looking more attractive. I think that was a huge thing that we uncovered in our survey. That a lot of people still believe that a tan is healthy, it's attractive. And there was a study I found that said that over 90% of women still believe that a tan was a marker of beauty. So the thing is, it's not.
How do we change that? I'm kind of shaking my head because it's like, how do we change those things that have been truly installed in us to believe? Like I want to look at a tan person, I think, oh, wow, look how great they look. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Mm.
Yeah, we definitely still have this belief that like bronze skin is beautiful, but what a lot of women are doing now, because they're not quite ready to let go of that belief, is buying bronzer and skin tanner. So that is one option. If you're not ready and you still want that look, you can buy these products that give you some protection. They're not always FDA approved though, but you can, you know, research good brands and et cetera. However, apart from that, it's what we're doing, education, letting people know that actually, you know, getting a tan is not a marker of beauty and it does increase your risk of skin cancer and skin damage. And I think maybe one really good discovery for me that might be helpful was just realizing that you can get skin cancer even if you never burn. So we think that burns are, you know, the marker, and that if we just get light tans or we build that, you know, base tan that people talk about in the early summer, then you'll be okay. But that's not true. So any amount of skin exposure increases your risk, or sorry, any amount of sun exposure increases your risk of skin cancer. So I think that could be a good thing, that maybe you think a tan looks healthy, but even a tan is increasing your risk. It doesn't have to be a burn. And if it's all about beauty, then we can also take into account that the more you expose yourself to the sun, the more likely you are to get wrinkles and brown spots and dry skin and just basically have more damaged skin earlier in life. So
yeah,
that
just
could
ask
be a nice
anybody
one as
over
well.
60, right? They'll tell you for sure.
Yeah, you're going to notice who exposes themselves to the skin and who doesn't when they're older. You can see pictures. It's interesting, like in my research, there were a lot of dermatologists showing like people who were driving and just, you know, the side exposed to the window, that side of their face is heavily wrinkled, brown spots, damage, and the other side unexposed was healthy looking. So yeah, it's going to come around one way or another in
right.
the end, unfortunately.
Right. Well, even sunroofs. I noticed when I had a sunroof that my nose was always red. And so I would open the sunroof when it was like early evening or something.
Yeah.
And try to close it any other time because, yeah, I mean, even that affected my nose, right?
Right. And we don't think about it. We don't think about how just every little minute kind of adds up as well, like running errands throughout the day. And then you get home and maybe your cheeks and your nose are a little red. And so that's why that carrying around some sunscreen in your purse or leaving in your car, it can be super helpful. Maybe even like leaving sticky notes, like, did you reapply today? Something like that before you go to work, before you leave work, just kind of changing our habits to increase that protection a bit more.
Right. Any other misconceptions that we have about sun exposure?
Yeah, I think another really important one we uncovered in our survey was that people with darker skin were not aware that they should equally protect themselves as much as people with lighter skin. And one of the main reasons for that is also because skin cancer is a bit easier to detect in people with lighter skin tones. So a big issue is that maybe you have a darker skin tone, you don't get burned so easily, but you also might not notice new moles so easily. So there was some research showing that people with darker skin tones, by the time the cancer is caught, it tends to be at a later stage. So no matter your skin tone, I think the biggest myth that needs to be changed is that you should be protecting yourself from the sun pretty much at all times of the day, especially 10 to 4, no matter what skin color you have.
Right. Is there a way to tell people how, well, of course there is. I mean, what are the signs if they do actually have something that's concerning, they need to see a dermatologist?
Yes. So first of all, we should all be seeing a dermatologist quite regularly. If you have a lighter skin tone or you're more at risk, your dermatologist should tell you exactly how often you should go in to see a professional, which could be every 6 months or every 1 year. If you're at a very high risk or you've had skin cancer, it could be every 3 months. Otherwise, you should be doing checks at home. If you have a higher risk, at least every few months. And for some people, even every month is recommended. And there's great website on the American Academy of Dermatology. So AAD.org. And they give you a great layout with pictures of how exactly to check your body. So you're going to want to undress, have a full length mirror, a little hand mirror for checking your back. You're going to want to do it preferably, you know, at a regular schedule, put an alarm, maybe a reminder in your calendar, like every month, every 3 months, depending on your risk level. So you're going to want to check your moles. You're going to want to check if they're new, if they're growing in size, if they're changing in color, especially something getting darker or black. That could be a really big sign as well. And if you're noticing anything different at all, a mole changing color, size, diameter, or it's raised, that's when it's time to contact your dermatologist. But either way, minimum once a year. And if you're at higher risk, it could be every 6 months or even less.
Nice thing I've noticed about seeing a dermatologist is they notify you. Like, I got a message on my email, it's time for your follow-up. I'm like, follow-up? Oh, right. It's been a year. Like, yes. I didn't even believe it had been a year, right?
That's great. That's great that your dermatologist does that. I'm not sure if everybody does that. So that's wonderful. Otherwise, yeah, putting in in your calendar, a little date saying, you know, check moles, check an appointment and have it repeating yearly. That's going to be super helpful because otherwise, like, we don't think about it, right? And all of a sudden, 3 years have passed and we lose track of time.
It's funny because we go in for our annual physicals. And if we thought of our skin in that way, I think we'd be much better off, right?
Yeah, that's a great point because when we go to our annual physical, they don't usually check your moles. Maybe if you like specifically ask, but they're not going to check it. So that's a really
good
point.
They check your blood pressure. They check all sorts of things, run tests. But yeah, don't usually check your skin that closely unless you have something concerning, right?
Yeah, exactly. But you may never know. It could be hidden. I think there was a statistic like you could have on average over 50 moles on your body. So you got to be vigilant, basically.
Well, right. And if you have genetics like me, where I'm predisposed to moles anyway, and most of them are not, you know, cancerous, obviously, but, you know, I keep an eye on them for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. Anything else really big that we need to tell folks about?
When it comes to checking your moles, checking that, I would say the biggest one is also about just keeping in mind that the time of the year isn't always the most important factor. So I'm happy we're doing this even at the end of summer because fall and spring is a big time that people still get sunburns. And even in the winter on our faces. And one of the biggest spots we get them is our nose, our lips, our ears, and our necks. So these are the areas, right, that are always exposed year round. So I think if anyone is going to take anything away from this, it should be to cover up no matter the time of the year, always keep sunscreen with you and always put it on before you're leaving the house or the office or you're going to run errands because fall is here, but the risk is not gone.
All right. Anything else that we need to leave people with?
Yeah, I think the biggest one that we took from our survey would be just how much we all kind of think that vitamin D, you know, is best gotten from the sun. And unfortunately, it's just not true right now because the risk is too high. So most dermatologists now recommend not thinking about getting your vitamin D from the sun, but instead from supplements. And the reason is vitamin D is just not very prominent in a lot of the foods we eat. You know, vitamin C you can get in like potatoes and peppers and oranges and tomatoes, but vitamin D is a bit harder to come across. And we also absorb less and less of it the older that we get. So on top of staying protected all year round, investing in some good quality vitamin D supplements is really essential. It's one of the most prevalent vitamin deficiencies in the world. It's estimated over 1 billion people have a vitamin D deficiency. And it is one of the biggest reasons why people are, you know, maybe okay with exposing themselves to the sun. So investing in some supplements, you want to get a minimum of about 15 micrograms or 600 international units. But now it's also, you're going to see a lot of vitamin D where it'll be 1,000 international units or 25 micrograms, because some research is coming out that we do need maybe a bit more than we used to think, and that many people are quite deficient. So getting some vitamin D supplements, if you forget a day, don't worry. That's okay. They're fat soluble, so it stays in our system. And I think that would be the most important thing, just getting some vitamin D supplements and checking every year your blood work, making sure you're not deficient.
Jennifer, how can people find out more about this great survey you've done and all the great information that you've been sharing with us?
So head on over to healthcanal.com. And specifically, if you want to look into this survey and read a lot more about the myths and what you can do to get vitamin D and protect yourself, so go to healthcanal.com/health, and then you'll find the Safe Sun Exposure Survey of 2023, or just Google the Sun Exposure Survey of Health Canal 2023, and you'll find a ton of information. And you can also send us any questions you have. We've got our editor's email there, and we're happy to answer any questions.
Jennifer, thank you so much for your time today.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
I enjoyed our conversation, and I hope people will take some of these things to heart. With me today has been Jennifer Olajars. She's a health counselor and a certified nutritionist. And thank you for joining me today for Let's Get Moving. You can find Let's Get Moving on podcasts wherever you find your podcasts. Also, kslpodcast.com is a really easy spot to find them. If you'd like to check us out on social, we always have great health, nutrition, mental health tips, and you can find us at Moving Maria on Instagram and Let's Get Moving with Maria on Facebook. Have a great day.